This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. In the trial of James Whitey Bulger, government prosecutors are trying to prove that the Boston mobster killed, extorted, and oversaw what can only be called a reign of terror in South Boston. But here's their challenge. Some of their key witnesses engaged in the very same despicable crimes that Bulger is accused of. So how reliable are they?
That's a question that Bulger's attorneys are trying to raise in the minds of jurors. In a tough cross-examination today, they went after Kevin Weeks, they went after Stephen Flemmy, a former partner in crime of Bulger, and now a star government witness. Flemmy is serving a life sentence after pleading guilty to 10 murders and has implicated Bulger in all of them.
Much of today's questioning was about two women who Bulger is accused of murdering, Flemmy's girlfriend, Deborah Davis, and Flemmy's stepdaughter, Deborah Hussey. WBUR's David Boeri is at the federal courthouse. And David, a lot of matter-of-fact talk today about murder, a lot of emotional accusations about pedophilia. Give us a sense of what the atmosphere was like in the courtroom today.
Yeah, there were a lot of fireworks. There were a lot of theatrics, sometimes mistaken for substance. What's intriguing about what's going on here is that you have had the prosecution's witness who spent a couple of days talking about blowing people's brains out, talking about handling body matter, pulling people's teeth out, burying them, digging them up, reburying them, and all as if he was talking about doing the daily chores. Suddenly, the subject starts yesterday with a little girl sitting in his lap and him reading a book to her, and he freaked out.
Right, so this is Stephen Flemmy's stepdaughter, Deborah Hussey, who he raised, right?
Right, and so he became really resistant, and he started to melt down on this whole subject of whether or not she ever sat in his lap and he read a book to her. And finally, knowing full well where he was going, the defense attorney said, why would this bother you? And of course, the answer it would bother him, suggests the defense, is because he was involved in killing her. Bulger is charged with actually strangling Deborah Hussey. The defense is trying to suggest, in fact, it was Flemmy.
Now, David, at one point, Flemmy tries to turn the tables, right, on Bulger following questions about his alleged sexual involvement with Hussey and underage girls. What happened?
That was particularly interesting because as he became more and more defensive and more resistant to the questions as Hank Brennan just cut into him, he kept on reacting by pointing to Bulger, saying, Bulger killed her. I didn't kill her. Bulger strangled her. And then on the subject of his stepdaughter, he said, wait a minute, you want to talk about pedophilia? Look right over there. The judge interrupted him, told not to say anything. Bulger was looking down. Suddenly, he looked up very slowly at Flemmy and then turned and looked down again. But Flemmy, not to be kept quiet, said he took a 16-year-old girl to Mexico.
David, when I hear you talk about this and when I read about what's going on in the courtroom, it makes my head spin because on the one hand, you've got the government making the case that James Whitey Bulger was involved in truly despicable acts, but they're using witnesses who are also involved in these very same acts. And when it comes to Stephen Flemmy, he's cleaning up the mess. He's pulling out the teeth of Bulger's victims. And it just makes you wonder where the justice process is going in this courtroom.
The reality of criminal prosecution today is that informants are the mother's milk of prosecutor. Mm-hmm. They're the mother's milk of police as well. And so you have government witnesses. They get deals. They get deals for testifying. Now, what's interesting here is that you have the families of the murder victims cheering for the defense as the defense grills some of these government witnesses that are there to help prosecute Bulger. And part of the reason is that the government has never fully dealt with what happened in government, in the FBI, that enabled such monsters to roam free, including the government witnesses who were teamed up with Bulger. And so when the government tries to soften their edges, as they did yesterday, for instance, in interviewing Flemmy, and when they asked him if he had a sexual relationship with Deborah Hussey, they allowed him to say, no, it was not sexual intercourse, no, without asking a follow-up. That is this huge question there. It is evasive. It's clearly evasive. They didn't do it, and so the defense struck hard, and they struck to the core. They want to take out the government's witnesses by claiming they're monsters. Well, guess what? They are monsters, and the sooner the government recognizes that and turns to the jury and says, yeah, these are monsters, but guess what? The facts corroborate what they're telling us. So for the defense here, Anthony, the situation is they're trying to find inconsistencies. They're trying to attack the government's witnesses and they're trying to find inconsistencies.
And so, David, was the defense successful in discrediting anything Fleming had to say as a witness? Did they find inconsistencies?
They did find inconsistencies. For instance, in the murder of Debbie Hussey, and Fleming, remember, is a well-rehearsed witness now because he's testified in three trials and three civil proceedings. In one court, he says that Bulger strangled her with his hands. In another proceeding, he said he wasn't sure. He thought he strangled her with a rope. And then in a third proceeding, he said he thought that he had her, that Bulger had her in a headlock. Deborah Davis, whether she was dead at the top of the stairs or at the bottom of the stairs. He's given different accounts. But here's the point, Anthony. In one case of Deborah Hussey, there was someone who saw it independent of Fleming. In the case of Davis, we have witnesses who say Bulger told us he killed Davis. So at the end of the day, the inconsistencies, yes, they're there. But do they stop Bulger from being convicted? It certainly does not look like that is significant enough to do that.
So a strange world there indeed in the South Boston courthouse. David, what else happened today?
You have the sense that the jurors have heard so many tales of murder and graphic murders. They've seen skulls. They've seen teeth and bones. They're deadened at some point. And then you have this bizarre comedy that comes out, black comedy at times. At one point today, Fleming was talking about a death in the basement of at somebody's house, and he said, "We strangled him." "You didn't shoot him?" "No, we couldn't shoot him. We were in the house. It was Frank's home. His wife was upstairs."
Oh, my God.
And so there's that bizarre level of it. But, you know, again, what's very, very telling, the defense is concentrating almost entirely on the deaths of the two women. And it's like this is a vanity defense. What Bulger wants is, you know, with an eye to the hall of fame of organized crime, just free me of the charges that I killed women and try and free me of the charge that I'm a snitch so that I can go into the hall of fame.
WBUR's senior reporter David Boeri reporting from the federal courthouse in South Boston. David, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Well, coming up, changing student performance by changing their brains. We'll check the emerging science on simple ways to improve how children learn. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.